Welcome to the Daily Wrap, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So whether Trump used the term shithole is literally still headline news, with CNN panels discussing the implications of its use and if the term could cause a government shutdown. Meanwhile, the U.S. is building an army in Syria, secretly bombing Russian air bases, carrying out psychological operations on Americans, creating an authoritarian border force inside the U.S., and arming the same terrorists it claims to be fighting. But yeah, did he say shithole? What could this mean? Never mind the very countries in reference are only in their current state due to the invasive actions of the U.S. But Trump, Trump, Trump. Oh, and did you hear? Kim Kardashian and Kanye West had a baby girl. Seriously, this is what the mainstream media is telling you is the most important news today. So why don't we get into the real news and what they clearly don't want you paying attention to? So first off, some breaking news. First, Hawaii, now Japan is firing off fake missile alerts. Japan's National Public Broadcasting Organization erroneously issued an emergency alert Tuesday, signaling an imminent North Korea missile strike. Quote, North Korea appears to have launched a missile, Japan's national public broadcaster NHK announced Tuesday. The government urges people to take shelter inside buildings or underground. NHK was, quote, deeply apologetic after it mistakenly sent out an inaccurate emergency alert. The J Alert system, which broadcasts over televisions to mobile phones on the radio and over loudspeakers, is set up to warn Japanese people in the event of an attack. But seeing as there was no missile, no alert should have been sent. So clearly something is going on here. I mean, this is outrageous. I mean, I think we are witnessing a massive joint psychological operation here, really with the overall overarching point to make people fearful of an actual nuclear attack. Regardless of the fact that North Korea has repeatedly offered to denuclearize as long as people would simply back off and stop threatening them. And that's really what's happening, is these joint Japanese-U.S. military operations around North Korea are essentially their provocations at their core value, and we're not seeing them back off at all, and we're seeing U.S. refuse to come to the table and even acknowledge the fact that they're willing to denuclearize. So the fact that we're seeing these kind of things happen, knowing that there's safeguards in place, I don't see any other explanation to this. One, who knows? Maybe we could justify that. But now seeing Japan have the same exact thing happen, this is crazy. And I think we need to begin to really address the fact that there is something going on around these stories. But we'll keep track of this one and continue to report. Going to the stories from yesterday, these are the top 10 companies that dominate the global arms trade. Guess what? 7 out of 10 are U.S. Coming out of Zero Hedge, the world puts $1.69 trillion towards military expenditures every year, and about $375 billion of that goes toward buying arms specifically. While it is common knowledge that the United States plays a big role in the global arms trade, the numbers are still quite astounding. Of the top 10 companies by sales, firms based in the U.S. make up 7 of the 10. That includes the clear number one, which is Lockheed Martin, which had $40.8 billion in arms-related sales in 2016. And as well as the two below that, Boeing and Raytheon. The U.S. defense companies accounted for a whopping 58% of total global arms sales. That adds up to $217.2 billion in 2016, a 4% rise from the previous year. Now, really, what better way to highlight the gross hypocrisy of the United States government and the military-industrial complex than to point out that most of the atrocities carried out across the world are using U.S. weapons? That's crazy. And I think that's something that it's continually disregarded by mainstream media, of course, but a lot of people fail to really recognize how important this is. We put an article up in the past called Made in America, How the U.S. Dominates the Global Arms Trade. But we have to realize that everything that the United States is doing across the world is based on the idea that they're fighting terrorist acts and, you know, fighting for humanitarian rights and spreading democracy. Yet they're selling the vast majority of the weapons that are causing these problems. There's really no other way to see that. So this is something that you have to take to heart and really begin to understand that what you're being told, what you're seeing, and the rhetoric behind these actions are completely false. It doesn't mean that everybody that says them is lying, but we really need to begin to see that this is based on lies. So there's definitely people that probably believe they're doing the right thing, but the majority of the people at the top of this are very aware of the manipulations in place. Moving on to the next story coming out of ActivistPost.com, Skynet Now, Pentagon deploys terrorist hunting artificial intelligence. A recent disclosure coming directly from the Pentagon reveals that after only 8 months of development, A small team of Intel analysts have effectively deployed an AI into the battlefield in control of weaponized systems to hunt for terrorists. The military minds in charge of this new form of warfare feel it is nothing less than the future of armed conflicts. They're quoted in saying, "What we're setting the stage for is a future of human-machine teaming. However, this is not machines taking over. This is not a technological solution to a technological problem. It's an operational solution to an operational problem." Originally called the Algorithmic Warfare Cross-Functional Team when it was approved for funding back in April, Project Maven has moved quickly. And many in the Pentagon think it will see more AI projects in the pipeline as the United States continues to compete with Russia and China for AI dominance. This highlights an important point for me, that competition is driving these efforts with a close second of military superiority, and it has nothing to do with the betterment of humanity. And they certainly do not stop to consider the possible repercussions or negative side effects. It's like we're living through a horror movie and we're the ignorant character walking toward that horrible noise or running into the woods when the town is right over there. We're watching it happen right in front of us. This is like every technological thriller unfolding right in front of us and no one seems to care. Letting war and competition drive this effort is simply ignoring all of the very real concerns of some of the best minds in this field. But hey, we destroyed the world before Russia, so I guess we win. It's absolutely that frustrating. So this is something that we need to continue to speak out about and show people that we are moving forward with stuff like this without fully understanding the repercussions of our actions. And really at the end of the day, it's because that's not what their concern is. They're fighting for a military mind. The next story from yesterday comes out of thedailysheeple.com. An American water crisis is just around the corner and no one is talking about it. Anyone who pays attention to their local news has seen the signs of the coming apocalypse in the United States, although they're probably not really aware of it. While many equate a water crisis to the sucking up of resources by big business interests or an offhanded moment of pollution from a local industry, there is another type of water crisis looming over America. It's not just Nestle or Coca-Cola and property rights. It's the future of municipalities, states, and the federal government to ensure that drinking water is actually drinkable. What we're talking about here is contaminants, lead being a primary example, and how right now the vast majority of water across this country is contaminated. There's been multiple studies to show that this is the case, and it's not being acknowledged. I always point out the fact that Flint, the one that we all seem to be aware of at some point, is no longer being discussed in the media. It's as if it's not even happening, yet they are still very much in crisis. But we have to realize that this is a larger problem that's continuing to grow, and no one's talking about it. And this takes us perfectly into the story from today. Are you one of the 170 million Americans drinking radioactive tap water? According to a new report from the Environmental Working Group, tap water for more than 170 million Americans contains radioactive elements that may increase the risk of cancer. The group examined 50,000 public water systems throughout the United States and found from 2010 to 2015, more than 22,000 water utilities reported radium in treated water. Radium can cause depression of the immune system, anemia, fractured teeth, and of course, cancer. The EPA itself warns that radium above the EPA limit is all too prevalent in America, and it could be causing lots of cancer. Go figure. In 158 public water systems serving some 276,000 Americans in 27 states, the EWG found that radium exceeded the federal legal ceiling, and the EWG expresses frustration with the 41-year-old federal drinking water standards that are not designed to protect human health. New public health goals were set in 2006 by the California Office of Environmental Hazard Assessment, but have been widely overlooked by the federal government. Federal drinking water standards are based on the cost and feasibility of removing contaminants, not scientific determinations of what is necessary to fully protect human health. And like many EPA tap water standards, the radium limits are based on decades-old research rather than the latest science. So for now, Americans will enjoy a higher risk of cancer one glass of water at a time, because perhaps cancer is profitable for the pharmaceutical companies, or the country is just flat broke and cannot afford new infrastructure. And I think that is the real point here. I mean, we can obviously make a connection between these kind of things in the pharmaceutical industry and the very wildly deceitful medical industry of this country. But the idea that our infrastructure is absolutely falling apart and nothing is being done about it. And that is the main reason we see things like Flint and the lead contamination and the radioactiveness of the water. These are things that we're not addressing because we can't afford them in this country. And rather, that's not even the way to put that. we can't afford them because our money is going to military ventures across the world. I mean, the idea that, for instance, this is a great example. The UN has stated that it would take about $30 billion a year to essentially end world hunger. Yet we spend trillions of dollars every year on military ventures. So think about that. If we really cared about the greater necessities of the average person, all it would take is a fraction of the money we're putting into invading and decimating other countries, and we could solve world hunger or build new infrastructure in the country. I mean, these things have to stand out to us as absolute absurdities, and we need to continue to pay attention. Moving on to the next story from ZeroHedge.com, Bannon subpoenaed by special counsel Robert Mueller to testify before a grand jury as part of the investigation into possible links between Trump's associates and Russia. And the subpoena marks the first time Mueller is known to have used a grand jury subpoena to seek information from a member of Trump's inner circle. Mueller reportedly used the subpoena after Mr. Bannon was quoted in a new book that dominated mainstream headlines and his criticisms of Trump, saying that Donald Trump Jr. in 2016 meeting with Russians was, quote, treasonous, and predicting that the special counsel investigation would ultimately center around money laundering. I bring this up to make a larger point that the FBI's deep-seated corruption and already ridiculously over-the-top conflict of interest in this witch hunt distraction of an investigation is seemingly being completely ignored at this point as the Trump-Russia made-for-TV drama introduces a new character and a twist. My prediction, nothing will come of this, and the crimes and ineptitude of the FBI will continue to be ignored, as will all the crimes of the Clinton family or the circles that they're connected to. Now, that should not be taken as a partisan argument. I just feel strongly that the Clintons specifically exist well above this two-party paradigm, as do their crimes that seem to extend well past party lines. This is just something that is very frustrating to see because people are consumed by this story. And I think it's been more than proven that this entire Russia-Trump scandal is based on absolute speculation and a desire to continue to distract the American people from what's really going on. And we've also made the point that it's important to address that every single country with the ability to do so makes efforts to manipulate and influence elections and the overall actions of other governments that they see as allies as well as enemies. So it's very important to understand that this is something, first of all, that the United States has done well more than anybody else, influencing and manipulating countries all over the world. So to point the finger at anybody else is pretty ridiculous, but as is much of what we see today. Moving on to the next story from theantimedia.org, the whole world is sick and tired of U.S. foreign policy. America's influential decline was most evident in Donald Trump's recent Jerusalem debacle, which saw the Trump administration issue stern threats to the entire world, warning they needed to vote in favor of Washington's interests at the U.N. Most of the world chose to ignore those threats and gave the U.S. essentially a giant middle finger, so to speak, voting overwhelmingly against the Trump administration. While Washington is more than capable of unilaterally attacking other countries, both covertly and overtly, with their ever-depleting list of allies, what is becoming increasingly clear is that it may not be able to do so with active opposition from the rest of the world, including nuclear powers such as China and Russia, which refuse to stay silent as the U.S. tries to shape the world in accordance to its geopolitical desires. And I think as this continues to develop, we are going to see more desperate lashings out of the United States government. And that's a very scary prospect, both for those living within and without the United States. It's also very important to note that it doesn't necessarily mean that those in opposition of U.S. agendas across the world are out to do anything better. In general, governments today are all vying for power and control, and that's a very scary prospect. But just the history of what we've seen from the United States and overthrowing different countries and the way they've left them, it just makes you not want to go along with the agenda. But really, we need to begin to see that all countries are trying to accomplish these same things. So it's about the people behind it and how we continue to raise our voices to things that we care about and try to influence the actual direction of these countries that are supposed to represent the people. So for more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sites in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.